We're going to go to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Recording good to go? Praise God. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 20. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I hope I preach a little bit better with people in the house. Hallelujah. That should make some level of difference. Praise God. Because when the word of God is mixed with faith, anything can happen. I said when the word of God is mixed with expectation, anything can happen. And God is going to do some great works in the house this morning. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 20. Behold, God is speaking. He says, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in thy way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. I want to preach to this congregation all over the world. Praise God, hopefully, and here locally, right in the building. Preserve, position, and prepare. Preserve, position, and prepare. Father, in the name of Jesus, a name that there is none greater, we are in the house of God for really a multiplicity of reasons. There are so many things, oh God, that have transpired in the past 8 weeks. There's a lot that has transpired in our lives the past year. But that would not change the fact that you called us, oh God, to thrive. You called us to win. You called us to be victorious. You called us to go deeper in you. And as we continue to keep you at the center, the forefront of our lives, and that we desire you in the middle of whatever fiery furnace that we are in, we know that there are some things in your word that you have already promised us. And as the people of God, we have to walk and we have to live with a mindset of expectation. I never get tired of praying and saying that, because the more that we know, the more we are going to grow. And the more we begin to realize what you desire to give us, then the more we desire to hunger for it. Anything that my earthly father said was mine, I said I want every bit of it. And how much more do I want what my heavenly father has in store for me? How much more do I want to walk in his principles and his power and in his love? I want to walk in everything you have for me, Lord, because I cannot live this life with myself alone. I cannot live with my own mindset or my own mentality. I have to vision myself as you envision me. I have to see where I want to go by what you want me to go. And I have to live my life by what you want me to do. And so, God, I'm praying you would not only preach, oh God, to the congregation, Lord, preach to me. Get my mindset on what you have in store for me, oh God. That no matter what I face or go through, I know I'm walking in the power and in the will of Almighty God. Let your revelation go forth in everyone's heart, in everyone's mind, in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. Why don't you clap your hands as you are seated here in the house of the Lord. Come on, clap your hands and bring it with a shout as well. Let's act like we are glad to be in the house of God. Let's let the devil hear how much we are glad to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated. I pray you're not afraid and stand the shout in your living room as well. The Bible says as well in Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. I love mornings, praise God. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Praise God, this was not in my notes, but God has just quickened my heart. Many of us, the enemy has been right on our tail, right behind us. But now the power of God is about to sweep over it. And now the enemy has now found himself on the run. Let me tell you, devil, it's already too late. You've already chased me too far. And now let me tell you, your kingdom is coming down. And every attack and every foe that has been nipping at your heels, let me tell you, the waters of the Red Sea are literally going to come down. And anybody believe that this is
is your day of victory. This is your day for God to let you know that the devil you've seen before, you will see him no more when you begin to walk in the will and the power of God. The waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared or reverenced or respected the Lord. And they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let me tell you, when God truly does a great deliverance in your life. And I know there's some people here in the house that say, I know for myself that God has done a great deliverance in my life. There's a lot of things in the house today. And there's a lot of X things that are watching online today. Is there anybody here that can quickly raise their hand and say, God has truly been a personal deliverer. He's not just some religious God out there that I pretend to know. No, I know him because I'm not what I used to be. I don't do what I used to do. God has brought a great deliverance in my life. That's chapter 14. Chapter 15, they are rejoicing and they are having the tambourines out, magnifying, praising God, just like we did and are doing and will continue to do in this house. And they are magnifying him with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all of their soul, and all of their strength. But then reality moves in, because we have to be people that can worship God in spirit and in truth, but then also recognize the areas of weaknesses in our lives when reality moves in. We are not here to act like that everything we go through is all right. Sometimes we are frustrated with the position and the situation we find ourselves in. And that's what happened to the Israelites. In chapter 14, God brings them out with a mighty deliverance. And then we get to chapter 15 and they're praising and magnifying God. And Miriam gets out the tambourines and the women begin to shout and dance before the presence of God. But in verse 22, a situation hits them that has never happened before. They were delivered from Egypt in the hand of Pharaoh, which represents their past. That was their oppression, their past environment, and their past abuses that they had to go through, the pathway of life. Then they are set free from all of that oppression and all that past life. But while they're walking towards the will and the power of God, they find that where they are in now is a difficult place, because now after their praise and after their worship, they've been in that wilderness for 3 days and there was no water there. They were in a position they had never found themselves in before. And there are people here this morning, all of us can relate to this, that we have, and it's easy to praise and shout and dance when everything in our personal lives are going well. It's easy to shout hallelujah when you got that raise. It's easy to shout hallelujah when God heals you in a sickness you've been dealing with. It's easy to shout when God opens a door and moves his hand in such a miraculous way. But what happens when you find yourself questioning, should I go back to my old life? Because at one moment God brought me out, but now here I am in a new moment, in a new season that I never knew how to handle it in the first place. What is the reality for many, many years? All they have known is there was a promise given to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But up to this point in Egypt, their everyday life ended up being just limited to just keep your head down and do what you're told. And maybe you won't get beat today. And maybe you won't get abused today. And maybe you won't get hurt today. And there are many people you are suffering right now in your life. You're walking beneath what God has called you to do, because some
level of oppression and fear has overshadowed your life. They said a good day would just meet their quota. Get through the task you're assigned to and go home. Get a little rest and repeat the process over and over again. Is there anybody here that's so sick and tired of the same mundane routine, putting your head down and not taking any risk? Let me tell you, God wants to take us to a place where we live life in it more abundantly and stop being afraid where He wants to take us to. I'm hungry this morning, church. I want us to get out of our status quo and get out of our fear and say, I will be all that God wants me to be, whatever it takes.
But here's the problem where many of us are right now. They were conditioned that things should go a certain way. And if they just do what they were told, if I don't expect too much, I won't be disappointed. If I just stay in the lines and allow my expectation to be limited to small, then I won't get hurt at taking a risk of something that I kind of desire, but I don't want to be let down. Now, from that conditioning, here comes Moses. Here comes Moses giving them renewed hope and promises and great expectations. But believe it or not, it concerned them because they always lived in limited expectations. And here's someone now telling them that God wants more for you. And God wants more than what you've been used to doing. God really wants to take you to a better place than where you've been living in. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take you getting out of your normal routine, out of your normal thought processes and your expectations and your personal comfort levels. And that is where I see where their problems actually began to start, because they had a hard time understanding that when you are given something more you are used to, you don't know how to correctly walk in that hope because you have never ever had hope before.
Hope is something new to you because all you know is devastation and problems around you.
You see, hope is so underestimated and underutilized because hope is misunderstood. Hope is not getting what you want the moment you ask for it. Hope is something that is held when everything around you speaks opposite of that hope. I don't get my hopes up because it's a place where I'm used to living in. But what people don't understand about hope is hope is actually what allows you to do so much more than you ever could without it. Watch what it says in Romans 4:18. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. It was due to Abraham's hope he became the father of many nations. Hope kept him expecting. Y'all don't understand what I'm really trying to say. Even though he was old and well beyond years of having productive seed, he kept on hoping and he kept on having relationships with Sarai. Why? He said, because it lets me know that where I am now, God has something He still wants to do in my life. Hope moves you forward even when everything is not in its proper place. Hope says there are no dead ends. Hope says it is not over. Hope says it's not too late or too far gone. Hope says there is still today a possibility. Hope keeps you planting seeds. Hope helps you see what can be. Hope allows you to envision a better place. Is there anybody that wants a better place? Then you gotta hope for it. Is there anybody that wants more than where you are right now?
Yes, I understand you may not physically be obtaining it, but hope keeps you praying. Hope keeps you worshiping. Hope keeps you excited. Hope wakes you up and says, this could be the day that the door opens. This could be the opportunity that changes my life. I don't know, but I hope for it. I don't know when, but I hope for it.
Job 14:7 says, for there is a hope of a tree. If it is even cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Is there anybody have a hope of a tree today? That some has cast you off, and things have not worked out the way you have wanted them to, but with God you still can hope that you are going to branch forward and be all that, come on somebody, and be all that God wants you to be. There is the other side. When you don't walk in hope at first, when you don't walk in hope, then the very first sign of trouble, you lose all momentum. When you don't walk in hope, the very first thing that does not go your way, you lose all your faith, all your energy, all your excitement. That's why we see them praising God for their deliverance in one moment, and then just 3 days after their deliverance, they are complaining and soon want to go back to Egypt. Is there anyone here, if we are honest, that one moment I'm magnifying and praising God and shouting and worshiping and crying and snotting all over the place for what God has done, and then not much longer I find myself murmuring and misunderstanding what God is trying to, am I the only one? Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Other times you go down to an altar and you feel the almighty presence of God, but then by Tuesday something happens and you can't lift your hand or your voices. I don't think the Israelite people were the only people that went through that. They were saying in so many words, our expectations were different once we left Egypt. Once I got up out of that water of baptism, once I got filled with the Holy Ghost, once I got up out of that altar, once I'm out of Egypt, I thought it was smooth sailing from here on out. We thought that once we left our old life, that everything in this new journey would be smooth. We thought that our journey to the promised land would not have all these uncomfortable things happen. Am I talking to anybody here today? I had no idea that I would have all of these unexpected issues and circumstances. I didn't think I had to suffer so much to go where you were trying to take me, on this side of the Red Sea. I thought all my problems was left out in the world. I thought all my seas and their issues happened on this side of the Red Sea. But let me help you understand what they did not understand. They completely missed that God was doing great things. That God does what God does. God says, I'm going to take you through stuff you've never been exposed to before, so that when you get through it, you know how big I am. Can I tell somebody right now, we never faced a virus on this magnitude, but I still will yet praise God. Because let me tell you right now, in this season, I have seen God do some miraculous things. I said in this season, God has still been great. I said in this season, God has still shown himself powerful in my life. And if you don't believe it, then live with expectation and watch how God will manifest himself in places you've never been before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He gave the solution to the new thing that they were dealing with. Because God is about expanding you. Exodus 15:25. And Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proves him. It said in the last part of that verse, there he proves him. That word prove means to test them and to put them to the test. God understood this. Now watch me, that this is a new place for them. All they know is bondage.
bondage. All they know is suffering. And with the bondage and suffering, they have never seen deliverance on the other side of it. And so I'm going to take them to a new place that right now they're spring with thirst. But when they walk with me, they'll find out that I won't leave them in the same place they were in Egypt where there was no hope. Now I'm going to show them that while you walk with me, that when a new need arises, I'll be the God that makes a way when there is no way. You see, you got to understand that in this moment and season, God takes you to places and through places so you can see God do stuff you never thought anybody could do. Oh, y'all ain't hear me this morning. God understood you're going to face new challenges on the other side. So I'll let you go through a new test and challenge, but then I'll show you how I will bring you through that challenge. Because in Egypt, you always say, here we go again. Same old mess, same old problems. But after Egypt, you got to say, God is going to show himself mighty like I never seen him before. God is saying, I'm going to turn things that are bitter. I'm going to touch it, and I'm going to make it better. So you, all you know is bitterness. All you know is headache. And God says, I'm going to turn it around. You never saw it in Egypt, but now you're walking with me, and you're going to see it time after time after time again. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? God is going to say, all you knew was negativity. All you knew when you saw negativity, that you would say negativity. All you know before is that things never change, and people never change, and things don't change. That's been your role from the beginning. But now on your role with me, I'm going to show you a new thing. Let me tell everyone in the house of God, as you walk with him, you will see a new thing. When you see a negative, you say, God, I'm about to turn a positive after it. When you see darkness, you say, here comes the light. Is there anybody here what I'm saying this morning? Bitter things you come across are going to be made better no matter what they are.
From here on out, he's showing them very early, 3 days after their deliverance. Here's a problem. It's hopeless. But now, from here on out, hopeless places are now places of miracles. In Egypt, hopeless places was, I'm just used to it. It's the way it is. I got beat yesterday. I'm going to get beat today. I lost yesterday. I'm going to lose today. But when God touches you, when you surrender yourself to God and God's will and God's power, and you're walking on God's road, you'll still go through a moment that seems bitter. But this time God says, I'm going to make bitter things better. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the place where things are bitter, that has left a bad taste in your mouth. Have you ever tasted something that just... And you had to get something that was dry and empty and gross, and it frustrated you, and this was not your expectation. Many times in my house, I'm expecting to drink something good, and one time, in fact, I believe it was April Fool's Day, that my wife said she made me some nice new lemonade, and the problem was I was just so thirsty that day. Come on, hear what I'm saying. I was so thirsty, and she played it off so good. Normally, if it wasn't a joke, she was kind of pressing me, go ahead and drink that, or do this, and I would be pressing, and I would do it because she said so. But this time, she laid back, and she played it cool. Oh, my wife was so good at April Fool's joke, and she let it be what it was. And then finally I got so thirsty that I began to drink that drink that I thought was lemonade. I don't know what that was, but it wasn't lemonade. It tasted like cinnamon, and it tasted like nutmeg, and I think it had a whole bunch of garlic inside of it, and it left a bitter taste in my mouth. And sometimes that's what the world does. But the Bible says, oh, taste and see at the Lord. He is good. God says, I'll take your bitter circumstances. I'll take your bitter roads. I'll take your dry places. And when I touch it, things that were bitter are going to be better. Is there anybody that says, coronavirus, I'm not getting bitter. I'm going to get better. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands in the house of God and say, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better.
what the Lord, I feel, was trying to say in this season of their life is that I want to help you understand how your journey with me is going to be from here on out. Remember, this is 3 days after the deliverance. He said, I got to show you now that I'm walking with you. I got to help you understand how the journey is going to be. Can I help someone this morning? Listen to me. The Israelites were on the greatest journey they could have ever been on. But the tragedy of that first generation is that it ended up being a place of disappointment, frustration, and limitation. People are out of Egypt, saved, baptized, born of the water and the Spirit, and been given a journey to walk in this land. But we don't know how to act in places of transition. They fail to really heed to the promise that God gave them in so many situations that they could have had hope in them. If you and I are ever going to get to a place that God has destined for us, we are going to have to get to the other side of Jordan. But in the middle of the journey of getting to the other side of our Jordan, we have to hold on to some hopes because we're going to be in the wilderness for a while. And I have to know how to enjoy the wilderness experience if God has a Jordan River for me to cross. And the problem is, too many of us, we're so miserable in the journey, and God is trying to get us to enjoy the journey. Are you sick and tired of waiting just for that absolute last moment? It's time for us to enjoy the journey. I've been on so many trips, and I've been in Disneyland or whatever else, and the actual trip ended up being less than what I expected. I said, so kids and wife, while we're on our way to get there, let's enjoy the ride. Can I tell some people in the house of God this morning, God wants you to enjoy this Christian walk. God wants you to enjoy the good and the bad. In the bad, you can say it's all good because God's about to show himself strong. How do you know? Because 3 days in the middle of my bitterness, God brought a tree of life and made it better. So when that new thing comes, I said, when that new thing happens, when that new bad news happens, everything going to be all right because God is showing me from this moment on, I got 3 things for you. Number one, I'm going to preserve you. On this journey, there are going to be situations and things and even people that are going to present themselves to you that look like they're there to hinder you from getting to the place you want to go. Is there anybody here that you have a place you want to go? Goals and visions and hopes and desires. You should. And when these things come to block it, God is saying, this should be your expectation. I'm going to preserve you. In the middle of that trial you're facing that you think will hinder your destiny, he says, I'm going to show you something. I had to be transparent here. I initially had the word protect here rather than preserve. Because protect is a sense kind of keeping you from something. But that's not what the Bible was saying. Sometimes we think that God keeps us from everything, and then we're frustrated because it was a wrong expectation of God. God does not keep you from everything. But he did say, I will preserve you. That means I can't protect my boys from everything that they can go through and face, nor the church. But no matter what happens in their life, God is saying, I can preserve you. So when trouble comes up out of the ordinary, I am going to preserve you. I say, well, what does preserve actually mean then? And when I looked it up, I was so amazed by it. Preserve means to maintain something in its original and existing state. So I might go through a hardship. I might go through some abuses. I might go through some things that I don't understand. But God says, I let you go through it, but I'm still going to shape and make and mold you and preserve you to still be all that I called you to be. What am I saying? That thing that came in your life, it cannot destroy you, because God says, I'm going to preserve you. That lie, that issue, that burden you've had to carry that you thought has changed your life, let me tell you, God's hand is still upon you, and God is still going to maintain you to its original state and purpose. Can I make it plain? You still won't reach your place no matter what you had to face. You hear what I'm saying? You're still going higher. You're still going further, because God is going to keep on preserving you. Number two, the expectation says, I'm going to position you. Position is, number one, a place where someone or something is located or has been put. For example, a place where part of a military force is posted for strategic purposes. Number two, a particular way in which someone or something is placed or arranged, like playing chess with Anion. And we position our pieces to the configuration on the board, not just seeing the next move, but the next move, next move, next move. Be really good. You can see at the end of the game. Well, can I tell you who is the ultimate chess master? His name is Jesus. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And so when he says, I'm going to position you, God, why you got me right here? There's a queen standing right in front of me. And God is saying, you don't know the next move I have planned. Y'all need to hear what I'm saying right now. You think you are in a hopeless place? No, you're not. You are being positioned right where God wants you to be to show himself strong. Why is that so important? Because you know the devil knows, no matter where I am, God is with me. And if God before me, who can be against me? If God has promised to position me, that I am actually living in divine providence. And I'm secure. So the enemy wants to make some of you feel you're so far away from God's plan. The enemy wants to make you feel you're so out of place and out of sorts. The enemy wants someone to feel that God can't bless you where you are. The enemy wants you to feel like that someone, you feel that you made too many bad decisions at this point, so now God can't fix it. No, 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 no. The promise I have on my way to the ultimate place is I'm right where God wants me to be. And if he has to wash me, then Lord, wash me and make me over. Whatever he has to do, he's going to do it. But devil, you are a liar. God has me exactly where he wants me to be, and I'm holding on to that promise. God is the one positioning us. Daniel, yes, you are in captivity. Yes, you were threatened. Yes, things were stacked against you. But that's how you got power. That's where you learned to pray. Has any of you learned to pray in this moment, in this season? I hope this was the day that before March 15 came along, you didn't focus on God. But once that virus hit and things got shut down, you say, well, I guess I need to learn how to get close to God. And see, devil, what you thought meant for evil end up being for good. Maybe it's not you this morning, but there's some people that their walk with God has been made closer in the middle of the storm. I tell you why. It's been the positioning of God. God is wooing us. God is calling us. Esther, your parents are gone. You're in a foreign land. Your people are about to be exterminated. But that's where you got to see how great you were in the eyes of the king. Sometimes the position you're in is what's going to promote you to your destiny. Last area, and I'm closing. He says that I'm going to prepare this place. When someone prepares, that means that they have already taken many things into consideration to make sure things are ready and in order. And that includes that the timing has to be right. Prepared means now God, because he's prepared it, he's waiting on us to come sit at what he's already set up. He says in Exodus 23, I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out before thee until, watch this, until you be increased and inherit the land. God is saying, I'm going to do things in my wisdom to make sure you
can handle what I prepared you for. I'm not going to give you everything at one time, because there's some areas you're still immature in and you have to grow in. But let me tell you, it's there waiting for you. I'm preparing it for you, and I will drive them out little by little. Can I tell our new people in the house of God, God is not necessarily asking you to change everything at once, because you might get discouraged because you'll see how insignificant and how imperfect you are. God says, I'll do little here and little there, but as you're walking towards my grace and my mercy, I'm going to completely deliver you in every area you need deliverance in. Don't you allow the enemy to lie to you and say you'll never get to that place. Say, God gave me a word that he's already prepared. I'm growing a little at a time. Don't push me. Don't rush me. I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm preaching to some new converts. The devil's been lying to you because maybe you feel like you're behind. I know you're not. God say, I'm doing a little here and a little there, but I'm going to deliver you out of all your afflictions. I'm going to deliver you out of all your addictions. I'm going to save you, because you can't save yourself, but I have prepared this place for you, and I'm allowing time for you to increase. Let me tell somebody, this is your season of increase. I said, this is your season to grow, if you can believe in the word of God. But you got to be faithful over a few things, and then he'll make you a ruler over much. And so in this season, somebody has to say, I'm going to have little victories. I'm going to have little things. It's all right. It might not be the biggest thing, but in my little areas of victory, I'm going to shout, because God is preparing me. Come on, recognize what God has already done inside of you. You shouldn't even be here right now. You should have already lost your mind. You should have already been out there crazy, but God said, I'm going to keep you. No, you're not all where you want to be, but is there anybody thinking, I'm not what I used to be? And God's not done yet. Let me tell you, God is not done yet working on your behalf. So now, when it came time for the next generation to cross over, they said, we're not like our forefathers. We're not about to circle that same old rock again. We have a hope that he has preserved us. He has positioned us. And now he has prepared us. And they crossed over Jordan. And they said, I know the water is over the banks, but I'm stepping out in faith. Why don't you stand right now and raise your hand and say, there's no Jordan River that's going to stop me. There's no walled city that's going to stop me. There are no giants that are going to stop me. They walked in that wilderness and said, I'm not walking not one more day in that wilderness. I'm holding on to those three promises of God. God has preserved me. God has positioned me. And now God has prepared me. I'm about to take some stuff over. I'm going to live in cities I did not build. I'm going to drink from the vineyard that I did not plant. I'm going to cross over. I'm praying right now in the Holy Ghost. And I prophesy right now, wherever you are in the building or you're in your home, lift your hand right now and say, I'm going to walk forward in what God has for me. I'm going to have hope like never before. I'm going to believe and step out and know that God's promises are yea and amen. Is there anybody ready to go forward? Is there anybody to conquer? Is there anybody that said the devil's a liar? I am everything that God wants me to be, and I am what God has called me to be. Hallelujah. You can play that soft music in the background, brother. Put your hands right now unto him one more time. Lord Jesus, we've been through some storms, and we might go through some more storms, but there's now a new expectation I have in the middle of the storm. You are going to preserve me, Lord. I'm not going to come out, God, and be destroyed. I'm going to come out stronger. I'm going to come out more mature. I'm going to come out wiser this time around, Lord Jesus. I might have some scuff marks upon me. I might have some bruises. But God, your word says you are going to keep me through all that.
And Lord, you're going to position me. I need the church right now to believe that where you are right now, God is positioning you. So you don't have to be afraid and you don't have to be weary or worrisome. God is positioning you to go to the next dimension in Him. You got to believe it. You got to believe that it's for you. You cannot think it's for somebody else. You got to say that God's hand is on my life and His favor and His will does want to be poured out on me. But I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to my old mindset anymore. I'm not going back to my old negativity. I'm going to hope again. Someone pray, God, help me hope again. Help me to believe in hope. Hold on to hope. Hopeless places are now places of miracle opportunity. And I pray that right now all over the house of God. I pray, oh God, those that truly right now in their suffering, truly right now they're hurting, truly right now they're in pain, right now they're confused, they're hurt, God, they don't know which way to go. I'm asking you, God, to touch them and give them a hope that you're working things out as they continue to move forward in you, Lord, one step at a time, trusting in you, committing to you, dedicating to you. God's going to do it, and I speak it right now. There'll be a great deliverance, but when the water runs out, God, you're still going to work. When I face a new thing, God, you're still going to work. Your hand's still going to move. You're still going to bless, oh God. You're still going to uplift, oh God. I see some of you being moved right now by the Holy Ghost. I see tears begin to fall. I pray that would happen. I pray you release your emotions to God. Because God says, I have my hand upon you and I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Right now, the Lord is touching the room right now. God is moving through these aisles right now. And God is telling you that I'm going to preserve you. Everything is going to be all right. Just keep on trusting in what my plan is, because it's my plan in the first place. You couldn't be here unless I wanted you here. And so if you're here, I'm going to manifest my glory to you. But don't go back to Egypt. Don't lose hope. Don't think that you're too far gone. Don't think that you've messed it up too much. Don't think that it's too late. That's a lie. It's not too late. The chest master is positioning you and making a way for you. In the name of Jesus. Can it be so, God, in your heart? In the name of Jesus. 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 That's right, just find a place to pray. Just call on His name and say, this word is for me. This word is mine. I believe that God is going to lead and guide my life. God's hands upon me. And I'm going to walk towards that plan. I'm going to walk towards it. Even in your living room right now, walk towards what God has in you. Get a desperation in your spirit saying, I'm going to hope again. I'm going to believe again. I'm going to trust again. I'm planting seeds again. I'm walking in faith again. I'm moving forward again. Because Jesus is with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's some favorite people in this room. There's some favorite people, oh God, watching. And we, oh God, say yes. We say yes that we are forgiven. The blood of Jesus is here right now to wash every sin. And there can be no condemnation in His presence. He's here to wash us. He's here to heal us. We're just going to go ahead and turn it up as we're wrapping it up. Turn the volume up right now. And just wherever you're at, just begin to worship Him. Entertain His presence. And let Him tell you where He wants you to go. Let Him tell you where He wants you to go. How He wants to lead you. How He wants to guide you. How He's ordering your steps. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to make a way for you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We seek after your face, Jesus. We seek after your face, Jesus. We seek after your face, Jesus. We seek after you, God. I want this renewed hope, God. I'm tired of going through a main routine, oh God. I'm tired of walking through a world of lifeless purpose, oh God. I want to have new hope and vision, oh God. I'm believing new things for me, Lord Jesus. I want to believe, oh God, the greater tomorrow for my life, God. I'm tired of wandering around the wilderness. I'm tired of walking around in circles. I want to move forward, oh God, in you, Lord. I want to go deeper, Lord, in you, God. I want greater expectations, oh God. From this moment on, I want to go high in you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, God. He's manifesting himself. You're welcome.